We do want to welcome you this morning to Park Place Baptist Church as we come out to worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are hoping and praying. I've already spoke to some of the folks in some of the cars that are out here in the parking lot that, you know, they're not really calling on anything around here until probably this afternoon once the winds get up and things like that, and we'll just kind of see what happens. But this morning, we'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. When you look at these verses, they're going to be very, very familiar. And we'll read those here in just a couple of seconds, because to me, if there is a passage of Scripture, now I'm not talking about a verse like John 3:16, Philippians 4:13, or what one of my life's verses are, which is 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not talking about a verse. I'm talking about a passage of Scripture. As far as the passages of Scriptures that are found in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6 and what we call the Lord's Prayer is probably the most well-known and most quoted passage of Scripture that I know of. Now, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are mostly believers would say the same thing about Psalm chapter 23. But when it comes to a passage of Scripture that unbelievers have quoted, that unbelievers have said, that unbelievers have maybe heard others repeat and then learned what those words were, you're going to find it here in Matthew chapter 6. And so Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, Jesus instructs us and says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive them not, or forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so we know this passage of Scripture by what most folks have called it, the Lord's Prayer. They've called it the Lord's Prayer for years. Now, you may have gone to a church or heard another sermon where somebody said, well, it is actually a model prayer. Well, is it the Lord's Prayer? It sure is. Is it a model prayer? It sure is. It kind of takes the prayer and reminds us that we remember God and everything that He is and who and what He has done for us. In that prayer, we pray for ourselves, we pray for others, we pray for forgiveness, we pray for our daily provision. And so, is it a model prayer? Sure, it's a model prayer. But here's what Jesus wants us to do with it. He wants us to make it our prayer. My prayer. Your prayer. Is it the Lord's Prayer? Yes. Is it a model prayer? Yes. Can it be your prayer? My prayer. Yes. Because this setting as far as teaching here at Capernaum, and I've said this before, is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry at about 30 A.D. A year later, Jesus and His men are up in the mountains, and Jesus has gone off by Himself to pray. And when He comes back, and you find this in Luke chapter 11, and when Jesus comes back, His disciples look at Him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just like John taught His disciples how to pray." And then Jesus comes right back, and almost word for word, says the same prayer. Now, for the agnostic, or for someone who doesn't believe the Scriptures, doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't believe that God exists, or if they do, then they believe, you know, that the Bible contains contradictions and mistakes and time frame issues, and they'll look and say, "Aha! Now look, over in the book of Matthew, it says that He did this up at Capernaum at the beginning of His ministry
right after he had called his disciples. But over here it is in the book of Luke, in chapter 11, a year later, and he's saying the same thing. And so there's our contradiction. This proves that the Bible was written by men. But then as a believer, I come right back to someone who says that and says, what is it that makes you believe that Jesus taught his lessons one time and then just walked away from it and never taught the same thing again? Why would Jesus not look at his disciples and say, hey, look, guys, the best model for a prayer that I could give anyone, I gave in Capernaum. Did you honestly think that I would give them a prayer and then give you a better prayer? This is the prayer that Jesus wants us to use as that framework as far as becoming intimate with the Father through our prayer life. And so if you are a Christian, just like I said last week, if you are a Christian and you are seeking the power of God on your life, learn how to pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. My prayer. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy and your grace. And God, once again, Jesus reminds us in this passage. And Lord, we talk about the power of Jesus' name, and there is power in Jesus' name. But He reminds us this morning in that prayer, there's quite a bit of power in your name too, Father. And so we can't ever forget that as well. He reminds us that all that we are, all that we have been, and all that we can ever be are found in the sanctity of your name, just like life is sanctified and precious as well. And so, Lord, I pray for these folks that are here in this parking lot. I pray for the ones that are sitting out here in their lawn chairs enjoying this beautiful Sunday. Maybe overcast. Had some rain last night, but still sure is pretty out here, Lord. Chris did a good job singing a few minutes ago. But Lord, right now we're getting serenaded by the birds as well. But Father, we also pray for those who are watching us by Facebook Live, who this afternoon may pick up somebody else's watch party or may even watch it on YouTube. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to a heart of someone that is listening to this message and that something would be said that would challenge them to completely and eternally transform their lives and surrender themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and that He would become their Savior. Lord, and if they do, Lord, I pray they'll tell somebody and let someone know the good news, that the good news, the gospel, still works. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is that Jesus here, starting in verse 9, gives us a correction. Gives us a correction. Now, what Jesus is doing right here, where he left off from his, where we left off actually, where he continues, but where we left off last week as far as the prayer, he is giving us a solution to a problem. Now, I'm going to ask y'all a dumb question today. Now, you may, as soon as I say that, I'm going to ask you a dumb question today. You may be saying, I don't know, preacher, it's awful early. I've been seeing some pretty dumb stuff going on out in the world today. You know, you may be competing before the day's over with as far as the dumb question of the day. Well, let me go ahead and let at least get things started off. Let me ask you a dumb question of the day. Do you know someone who is quick to come to you, to approach you, and let you know about all the problems of life, all the problems in church, the problems at work, the problems at home, bring to you all the problems, make you aware of the problem, and never one time ever offer a solution? I know several. And I'll have to confess, there's probably been times in life that I have been one of those folks who came with a problem but yet did not offer any kind of solution. Now, that's not what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is taking, and last week he spoke about the hypocritical prayers and the attitudes and the actions of those Pharisees and Sadducees who loved to pray in the markets, who loved to pray in the street corners, who loved to sound the trumpets when they were doing their alms. And so Jesus is coming right in here on the heels of it and saying, okay, I've pointed out a problem with prayer, and so now I'm going to offer you a solution to the prayer. I'm going to give you a correction. Here is corrective measures. This is what we're supposed to do. He pointed out the problem. Now He gives us the solution. Now, there are a lot of people out there who take this prayer, and this prayer may be something that they quote verbatim every day. It may be something that in a public meeting that they say, let's pray together, and then they begin the Lord's Prayer, and they begin to initiate prayer, and everyone joins in. It may be the beginning of your prayer with the Lord. It may be as a benediction of your prayer time with the Lord. You may quote this every day verbatim, and that is perfectly fine. That is perfectly okay. Jesus said when you pray, pray this way. No problem with that whatsoever. The message and solution that Jesus is giving us, though, is not one that's bound, because when you look at this prayer, I think I counted 66 words altogether. He doesn't want us to limit our prayer time or the vocabulary of our prayer time to just these 66 words, and then we go about our daily business, and this becomes routine. He wants us to take the structure of this prayer and turn it into our prayer, because what He is doing is He is endowing us, He is giving us, He is blessing us with freedom as we pray. Jesus said, the hypocrites, the Pharisees, pray like that. But you, I want you to pray like this. Now, most of us would think that if it came to a book that we would name in the New Testament, that was the book of prayer. I mean, man, when you go in the New Testament, you want to know something about prayer. It's just like, you know, folks have come to me before and said, preacher, you know, we've had a death in the family, or we've had sickness in the family, or there's struggle, there's turmoil in the family. I need comfort. I need peace. I need something. Where can I go and receive verses or scriptures, passages of great peace? And nine times out of ten, I'm sending them to the book of Psalms. Nine times out of ten, I'm going to say, go to Psalms. Go to Psalms and just start reading the Psalms. The Psalms are songs that give us peace. But when it comes to prayer, one would think, well, I'm going to send you to Matthew. No. I'm going to send you to Mark. Luke? Nah. John? Nope. The book of Acts is the book of prayer, Brother Todd. The book of Acts is where you really begin to see prayer transformed in the lives of the Church of Jesus Christ. The prayers in the book of Acts that Peter and the apostles offered up brought thousands to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayers of the saints in the book of Acts literally shook buildings. The prayers in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas prayed in the middle of a Philippian jail brought about a revival that pleased God so much that the Bible says that the bars on those prison doors, they shook, and all of the prison doors flung open. And when the Philippian jailer came in with a light, was going to take his own life because he thought that all of the prisoners had escaped, and Paul said, don't hurt yourself, we're still all here. Man, they're still enjoying singing Amazing Grace. Amen? They were still enjoying that revival there. And the Bible just simply said, and at midnight when Paul and Silas sang and when they prayed. It was the book of Acts. Chris, what made the difference? Let me ask you a better question. Who made the difference? The Holy Spirit made the difference. When the Holy Spirit was given to those men and women that were in that upper room on that day of Pentecost, their prayer lives in the Lord Jesus Christ were immediately transformed. And as they began to pray, they just didn't pray. Tommy, they prayed with power. They prayed with a power and with a belief that things were going to change because of prayer.
If you want things in your Christian life, in your home life, in your work life to change, let me challenge you, pray. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and I want you to listen to this as we're talking about where Jesus said, our Father, and He's challenging us to make this my prayer and your prayer. I want you to listen to what Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. Brother Chris, listen to this. And I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with understanding also. See, when that closeness, that intimacy of prayer becomes reality between us and the Father through our prayer lives, then the Holy Spirit begins to transform our hearts and begins to take all the problems and put them in the right place, and then takes a song and plants it in our heart. See, sometimes I think even in this pandemic of the coronavirus, we forget a verse that most of us may have even learned in vacation Bible school, and we have taught little children, and sometimes as adults, we forget where the Bible tells us, when I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. When I am afraid, I will trust in You. God, when I begin to see the problems and the pain that life can bring, and let me tell you something, folks, whether someone's dying from cancer or COVID-19 or from a heart attack or whatever it is, that pain that comes from death, there's got to be a solution. Jesus gives us a correction. He gives that solution. He gives it to us in prayer. See, the solution of hypocritical prayer is praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Solution equals correction. Last week I mentioned the prayer warrior E.M. Bounds. And E.M. Bounds made this quotation. He said, those who know God the best are the richest and most powerful in prayer. Little acquaintance with God and strangeness and coldness to Him make prayer a rare and feeble thing. E.M. Bounds right here says, if you want a robust, rich, and powerful relationship with God the Father, it comes through prayer. If you want dryness, coldness, and distance between God and one of His children, then just don't pray. Just don't pray. Because if you don't pray, I'll guarantee you what's next. If you don't pray, you're not going to read the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures are going to tell you to pray. And if you don't pray and you don't say the Scriptures, then you're going to start finding that your walk with Christ is going to start becoming very broken. There's not going to be any continuity there. And then eventually, there'll not be any walk at all, which equals being backslidden, just as were these Pharisees. Jesus said, I pointed out the problem. I've given you a correction. The second thing this morning is He encourages us then to make that connection. Connection. If you've ever taken an electrical circuit and knew that it was hot on one end and you had a wire in your hand and you took it and you touched it to that power source, you probably saw sparks come off of it. You may have saw if it was something went to a lighting in the home, and some of you who may be out here in the parking lot now who are listening said, what idiot holds on to or who works on a circuit that's hot? Sometimes. Sometimes I do. Well, here's what you do. You pray and you do it. That's what you do. And you make sure your life insurance is good. But anyway, it's happened. It's happened. Hey, but when it happens, you see the effects of it. You see the spark come off of it. You see life. You see power. So Jesus says, if you want power, then when you pray, here's what He says right here. When you begin,
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. This is the preface. This is the beginning. This is where you start. You start with the Father. The beginning is how you begin. You don't skip to the second word. When you start talking about the Father, you remember that this is something between Him and us. It is our time together. Our Father. See, power in prayer comes as a result of knowing that no matter what I say from this point on, that my prayer will not be all about me. It will not be all about me. My pain, my hurts, my wants, my thinking. It can't be all about me. Jesus is reminding us that when we pray, and we pray in the Spirit, it will not be all about us. Now, we will find some things that are common. Now, the first thing I want us to see right here that we're common, that God is common to all mankind through creation. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say, we know we're all God's children. In a sense. In the sense that all of humanity is connected through creation, and what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, have we not all one Father, and hath not one God created us? That would be a yes. That would be a yes. But we also have to remember that the Father becomes common to His children through Jesus Christ. The prayers of the individual are honored by the Father when they come through the mediator whose name is Jesus. The Bible tells us that there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. It has to come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, and because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See, He's common to us there in verse 9 as children through Jesus Christ. For in this prayer, Jesus tells us that God is in heaven, implying that God has a heavenly dwelling. But He also implies that if God hears us here on earth, where Jesus says, on earth as He is in heaven, as we pray here on earth, then the Father then, because He is not limited to that one space by being omnipresent, then Chris, He's with you when you pray. Dale's, He's with you when you pray. Dale Porter right here in your van when you pray, He's with you. Jerry, He's with you. John, Colleen, with you. Michael, with you. Tom, with me. He's with us all. He don't say, like when, you know, and everybody was talking the other day about so many people being out in public. Well, you wouldn't know it. I mean, because whenever you call somebody down, they'll answer and say, such and such, can I put you on hold? And you know why? Because they're dealing with somebody else. They can't listen to you and listen to them and take care of everything else they're wanting to do all at the same time. God don't put you on hold. He don't say, well, Dale, while Tom's praying, I got to put you on hold. Kay, you're in key second in line. Tommy, you might want to talk to someone by our automated chat on our website, because your hold time is probably going to be in excess of 45 minutes. See, that's what they do to you now. The IRS, if you want to know about your stimulus check and you ain't got it yet, here's what the IRS says on their website. Do not call us. Don't call us. It's bad when the IRS says, don't call us. Don't call us. God don't look and say, hey, while I got Tom, don't call. While I got Michael over here on line number 2, don't call. All the lines are tied up. That's not the way it is. Galatians, Paul wrote, because you're sons, He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into you.
in your hearts. Jesus. That name that's above all names. And through that name, just as Jesus on the cross cried out to His Father, and the Father heard Him, that you can call out as you carry your cross. And I promise you, according to the promises that are contained in the Scriptures, He will hear you. See, He's in heaven. Psalm chapter 33, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of His habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." There's a preface. Our Father, who art in heaven. Now there's a petition. And this is how we start. Sanctified, hallowed is your name. Jesus has been given the name that's above all names. Now reminds us as we pray and points back to the name of the Father, Jehovah. Why would Jesus do that? It's because it's found in His name. The name of Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And when Jesus reminds us that the name of the Father is sanctified, it's clean, it's precious, then it reminds us that here I am, a dirty human being. And we've been saying this for weeks since moms and dads have begun to have to homeschool their children. They are finding out that their children are not the angels they thought they were. I got tickled the other day. I was watching, and I'm watching some of the Dr. Phil shows that are dealing with the COVID virus, the coronavirus. And he was dealing with two moms that were trying to homeschool. One was a mother of three, and I think that she was doing pretty well. Another woman was a mother of five, and she said, "I'm not doing well at all." And what tickled me is that he showed a portion of the video that she sent to the show trying to get on. And so with her voice, she's telling everyone how wonderful her children are, how obedient they are, what a joy it's been for her to be around them. And she's just praising her kids and just singing about how wonderful her kids are. But she's reaching down, pulling up pieces of paper that says, "I'm not doing good." And she lays that one down and says, "Send help." She lays that one down and picks up another one. "I'm being held hostage." She lays that one down. "They hear us. Don't talk too loud. They can hear us all the time. They're always listening." She lays that one down. She picks up another one. You know, she was in trouble. She's saying, "I'm in trouble." Well, if God's name's not sanctified, if God's name's not clean, if the Father's name is not holy and there's no power found in the name of Jesus Christ, then what hope do we have to get cleaned up ourselves? Jesus said, "I'm going to give you the name to pray in. I'm going to give you the one to pray to. And I'm going to tell you right now, my Father is sanctified. He is clean. He is holy." And as a human being, and you may step back and say, "Man, I have messed up more times than I can think about. God has got to be tired of listening to me and hearing me and me coming to Him. He's got to be tired of it." Jesus said, "Let me remind you, when you start and as you begin to petition and you pray, our Father, who art in heaven, your name is holy and clean and pure. And I acknowledge that. And because I'm not, then here I am again. Here I am again. And I need you once more." It's in His name. We find that in His name that the kingdom has come. Jesus is not saying that the kingdom will come, but that the kingdom has come. The first message that John the Baptist preached was that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus, after leaving the his baptism there at the Jordan River, and then his temptation in the wilderness for 40 days, his first message back in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, and you can flip back and see it. Because Matthew chapter 4 gives you John's message and it gives you Jesus' message. Same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. You've been looking for it. It's here. You've been praying for it. It's here. Everything that you've prayed for concerning the kingdom of God's Messiah is here. Your kingdom has come. The next thing is that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, not as it was in heaven, past tense, or that it shall be in heaven in the future, but that it is in heaven today and will be tomorrow and will be the day after that and will be the day after that. And I know folks don't want to think about this. Folks don't want to acknowledge it. But I'm telling you right now, God's going to use this virus for His good some way, somewhere, somehow. Because God's still God. The Bible still says in Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. There are going to be folks who are going to be saved by the messages they see online. There are going to be people who are going to get sick that they're going to be reminded that their lives are brief and this virus is going to bring folks into the kingdom of God through the name of Jesus Christ. And as God moves quietly in heaven, accomplishing His ultimate will, He also moves quietly through the spirit of His people, the spirit of believers, who trust God's perfect will, no matter how bad the storm may surge around you. May I remind you that when Jesus told those disciples to get into that boat, He promised them, we're going to the other side. Then He, in complete and perfect peace, goes down into the skin of that ship and goes to sleep. And as the winds began to blow, and the rains began to pour, and the waves began to beat upon the hull of that fishing vessel, and they're taking on water, and those men believe that they're going to drown. These are experienced fishermen who have been in storms. They know how much. They knew how much water could come on board a fishing vessel before it began to sink. They knew that. They knew that they had to lighten the load. They knew that. They knew that they were in danger of sinking. And they cried out and they went and woke up Jesus and said, doesn't it matter to you that we're about to drown? How many of us have ever looked to heaven and said, God, does it matter to you that I'm about to drown here? I'm about to drown. My kids aren't angels, they're little demons. My wife is looking at me and say, Tom, don't you have some place you can go play golf? We're wondering when things are going to get back to a normal. We are craving Mexican and cheese dip. Lord, doesn't it matter to you that these things are happening to us? What was the first thing that Jesus asked those men when He woke up? Where is your faith? In this COVID-19 virus, we're going to see where your faith is. Or are you going to believe that God's left you here to drown? When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. That's the way you pray when you make it your prayer. See, He says the rain falls on the unjust and the just as well. Peter reminds us that through that sacrifice of the Son for all of humanity on the cross that He's provided for us, and in this, we find where the Bible tells us, and Jesus said, and give us this day our daily bread. This day. The rain. James reminds us in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. In other words, there's no changing, there's no altering, neither shadow of turning. And in this verse 11, Jesus once again reminds us by saying the word our. In this name, we find that in every circumstance, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Chris was talking about him and Miss Kimmy reconnecting since all of this has started with this COVID virus. Some of you may have found out what it's like to actually and how much fun it is to actually cook again. Sit down to a meal together. One of the funniest episodes of, and I know some of them probably won't hear something about this once I say it, but that's okay. I'm going to say it anyway because I've already got ready to tell them myself. Anybody ever watch the show Married with Children? Married with Children? Okay, Married with Children, you know, Peg Bundy just didn't cook. She just didn't cook. And I can't remember if it was Jefferson or Steve. It was one of Marcy's husbands. He came over, and the kids were eating some kind of takeout or some kind of sandwich or something like that. And he just looked and said, "Why don't you cook? Why don't you just cook some?" And I can't remember which one of the kids that looked at him and said, "Well, Mom said that the round thingies on the top are broken." And so he goes into the kitchen, goes into the cupboard, finds the pots and finds the pans and finds things in the pantry and begins to cook. And the kids are standing there looking at the stove and they both go, Wow, the stove still works. The oven still bakes. The microwave still makes. It still works. We don't have to go out to eat all the time. We're reminded that in all circumstances, when it comes to the will of God, even to daily provision, we should thank God that Jesus Christ is in us. And then the Bible also tells us that in that same name, when you look here at verse 12, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. But I want you to look at how Jesus begins that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgiveness would not be needed at all had it not been that humanity was so weak when it came to our temptation. Paul wrote and reminded us that Jesus Christ came and was tempted in all the same way that you and I are, yet without sin. You and I can't say that. We can't say that our temptation has not led us into sin. Somewhere along the way in life, because we're all sinners, every one of us have taken the temptations that come in life, and we knew that what we were being tempted with was wrong, but still yet, in our minds, we justified that what we were getting ready to do because of that temptation, that in that setting, in that circumstance, and on that day, it was okay. It was okay to fall. It was okay to falter. It was okay on that day because we think, well, I've got a trump card up my sleeve. It's called 1 John 1:9, that Chris, I'll just go ahead and sin. And then once I sin, I'll just confess that sin and everything between me and God will be all right. But just like Adam and Eve, we never think about the consequence of the sin itself. Well, I'll just sin and then I'll be okay. The devil never told Adam and Eve that if you'll sin and you'll eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you'll go right back over here to the tree of life and eat of that, you can live. Never told him that. And he'll not tell you that either when he tempts you. He'll make the sin okay. So therefore, we need to pray every day, God, keep me from temptation. And be honest. Lord, You know my heart. You know my weaknesses. You know. Lead me not into temptation. See, in His name we have forgiveness. But when you look over here at verses 14 and 15, He reminds us that within that forgiveness, there's some variables. There's some negative versus positive in that forgiveness. Look what He says. He says, and forgive us our debts. Look down here at verse 14. He said, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So there's our forgiveness versus unforgiveness. And lead us not into temptation versus delivering us from evil. So there's a risk. Our Christian walk has risks. Our daily life has risks. There's risks. And so therefore, by acknowledging in this prayer to the Father, through making a connection with God, I acknowledge my weakness and that my weakness brings about risk. And so God the Father, I need You. And in that prayer, we connect. And in that connection, then the Holy Spirit says, Tom, don't you go by that gun store. You know you'll be in there in a minute, Lustin. Don't you do it. Don't go by that candy section looking for candy because you are sitting at home and Pat's sitting at home and you just want something sweet to snack on. You stay away from that thing. Don't go over. Tom, you know that person that's calling you is wanting you to go to the golf course. Don't you answer that call. But if there's no connection, then my temptation will prevail. Lead me to evil, even though that Jesus has encouraged us to pray there. Lord, don't lead us there. Deliver me from that kind of evil. And so it was Jesus, and if you recall that Jesus spoke to us back in chapter 5 about our own wrongdoings, the wrongdoings of others. He reminds us about forgiveness here. In verses 14 and 15, the daily struggle that comes with it. So how does Paul tell us to fight this battle? In armor. This is why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and also verse 13. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the lies of the devil. What will be the result if I do? Paul answers that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then having done all, to stand. We'll go out every day unarmed. No armor. We'll try to pray unarmed. No armor. And then we wonder why we don't have power. It is our responsibility as believers when we make a connection with God that we realize, I got to have the helmet of salvation. I've got to have the sword of the Lord, the Word of God in me. My shield of faith had better be right here on this left arm and in this left hand. My feet got to have on shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My breastplate that covers my heart has got to be a righteousness that Jesus Christ gave me the very moment that I was born again. And if I'll go out with my helmet and my sword and my shield and my breastplate and my feet shod with the gospel. Then again in Romans chapter 8, as Paul reminded those believers there in Rome, right in the hot spot, the hotbed of Roman paganism in that day. Paul told those believers, he said, because you are more than conquerors through Him that loved you. And that's that connection. There's a conclusion this morning here in verse 13, and I'm going to hush. For the Bible tells us, and let me read that one more time. He says, for thine is the kingdom the power and the glory forever. Forever. In the Jewish prayer, this short verse, and see, this is not something that Jesus is quoting for the first time. You find this in the Old Testament. You find this in the Talmud, in the prayers of the Jews. And this short prayer literally means, blessed be the name of the glory of His kingdom forever and ever. Blessed be the glory of His kingdom. Blessed be His name within that kingdom. And not just right now, but forever and ever. Because when He says right there, He says, the kingdom, and then He says the power. Again, this is that word dunamis. Here's that word dunamis. That life-changing, life-altering power where God's Holy Spirit moves in and transforms that person or transforms that situation where it cannot be the same. This is that power right here. We've looked at this word, I don't know how many times at Park Place. We've looked at this same word, I don't know how many times at High Rock Cowboy Church. Because in His omnipotence, God the Father has the power to provide, to protect, and to preserve. And it's through His power alone. He don't need your help. God don't need a stimulus check. I called my tax lady the other day, and I said, Renee, when am I going to get my check? She said, I don't know. I said, what do I pay you for? And she said, I don't know. Am I going to get it this year? I don't know. Do I need to go on that website and enter my banking information? No. I said, well, when might I get it? She said, well, it might be 20 weeks. I said, well, ain't you a little ray of sunshine? She said, okay, Tom, you're going to get it next week. I said, you're a liar. She said, then it's going to be 20 weeks. I said, well, if it's not 20 weeks, she said, well, then you'll get it next year and it'll be part of your tax return for next year. I said, you're fired. She said, I ain't got mine either. I said, you're rehired. We don't know. We don't know. But there's all kinds of folks that says, man, I need my stimulus check. Not for a believer. We need the power of God to rest upon us. That'll change us and transform us to where we'll never be the same. That stimulus check will run through like goo through a goose and be gone. Where the power of God is there, and all we've got to do is ask and know it's there and available for us. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In verse 11, and I love this verse, and I've got it in the Christian Standard Bible. It says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty. It's all yours. For everything in the heavens and on earth, God belongs to you. It's all yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. And you, Lord, are exalted as the head over all. That's your Father. That's my Father. And Jesus said, when you pray your prayer, that's what I want you to pray. You pray to the Father. It's all His. The glory, the splendor, the power, the majesty is all His. It's all there. So why are we afraid? Why are we weak? That's where the psalmist came in and said, when I am afraid, I will trust in You. I will not be afraid. Fear will not be a part of my daily life. When God's ready to call me home, I'm leaving. And as long as God wants me here, I'm staying. And whatever happens in between is according to His perfect will. There's no virus that can take it. There's no government that can stop it. The greatest government ever to exist has always been, will always be, and that is the kingdom of God the Father. We just heard that here in 1 Chronicles. God, it's yours. It's all yours. The whole thing is yours. And so through that power, then Jesus says, I want you to openly praise Him. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Forever. Amen. In Psalm 71, verse 14, and I'm going to hush right here. David was an old man. Old man. He's seen many wars. Man, his heart's been broken. Children that turned on children in his family and killed one another. His son Absalom, the Bible says, drew the hearts of Israel away from the king. And then when David told Joab and the armies of Israel, when it comes to the young man, you deal nice with him, you be nice to him, you play nice. Joab, don't you go out there being Joab. You bring him back home. But Joab had him put to death. And his heart was broken. Oh, Absalom. Absalom. Oh, my son, my son. He knew pain. He knew betrayal. He knew heartache, hurt, and suffering. And here he is, an old man looking back. In that 71st chapter, in that 14th verse, David said, But, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. David said, I've had some setbacks, some disappointments, some hurt and pain. He even had a wife that despised him because of the passion in which he praised his Heavenly Father. And David said, and here I am, an old man, and if you think you've seen me praise you before, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to praise you more and more and more. That's our prayer. And Jesus said, when you can make that your prayer, forgiveness, piece of cake, slice of pie. When you pray that prayer, power, all yours. When you make that your prayer, then your life, your intimacy with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son will be the foremost relationship that you have in your life. And then the other relationships won't have near the problem when we make this my prayer.